Cue the fancy intro music. I'm Lisa Robin Young, and this is Creative Freedom, empowerment for creative entrepreneurs, where can-do inspiration and how-to education collide to help you own your dreams without selling your soul. Creative Freedom helps you to find success on your own terms and build a profitable, sustainable business doing what you love. So whether you watch the web series, the live Q&A, or are just joining us through the podcast, welcome. I'm excited you're here. The word yes is a tricky little bugger. Used carefully, it opens the doors to all kinds of possibilities. Yes can stretch you. Yes broadens your horizons. And yes, it even makes the dollar bills rain. But used willy-nilly, the word yes becomes a rope by which any creative entrepreneur can hang themselves. Think about it. When was the last time you said yes to a project that you ended up regretting? Did you say yes to working for exposure, perhaps, and then realize you got more than you bargained for? If so, you're not alone. Many creatives have been taught to say yes to any opportunity that comes along when they're first starting their entrepreneurial path as a means of quote-unquote paying your dues, whatever that means, as if years of training and practice don't count. I understand the logic, even if I don't always agree with it. Mostly because old habits die hard, and this is a habit every creative entrepreneur needs to break. But why does it persist in the first place? On the one hand, we often limit ourselves by listening to our inner critic, the one that says we're not qualified, not ready, or in some way not good enough to take advantage of an opportunity that comes along. So in an effort to shut the monkey up, we just say yes to anything and everything that comes along. And this was actually the strategy that award-winning writer and producer Shonda Rhimes used that led to her best-selling book, The Year of Yes, which chronicled her decision to say yes to everything that scared her for a year. But even Shonda said that work isn't work without play, and quote, I said yes to less work and more play. That's the other hand. In order to say yes to some things, the things that scared her, Shonda had to say no to other things. She had to break the old habit. Creatives start saying yes to everything because we're new, we have bills to pay, and maybe we're not entirely sure who our right audience is. So we begin experimenting and trying everything. But then we get trapped in a space of needing the money and hating the work or hating the client. Then we take on more clients that sap our energy. We do work we hate and we keep doing it because we feel like there's no alternative. We're stuck in dead-end work or stuck with deadbeat clients. The awful catch-22 that I see so often when I'm talking with creatives around the world. It doesn't have to be that way. The alternative is having the spaciousness to work with an audience you love, doing work you love, in a way that you love, at least most of the time. I'll be the first to admit that sometimes you still slip and someone will come on your radar and you'll regret working with them. I don't know if that ever really goes away, but you can certainly mitigate it and turn the volume way down on those kinds of clients. You have to learn to say no and mean it. There's a need that we all have to step away from the work, no matter how much we love it, and give ourselves room to refresh and recharge. I sometimes remind my clients that resting is doing something. Recovery is doing something. Self-care is doing something. Sleep is doing something. And yes, play is doing something, especially if you're a creative entrepreneur. That means that instead of filling our calendars to the brim with work that may or may not pay the bills, sometimes we have to say no to an opportunity in order to keep that space open for something better. Today, we're going to look at what drives this need, and I'm going to share some ways to say no with class and authenticity so that you can have healthy boundaries around your work and personal life and still keep the bills paid. Are you ready? Let's begin. When I was younger, I learned a story about a loving grandmother who invited her entire family over for dinner. She told them she was going to make her delicious beef stew for dinner. Because she would be cooking all day, she told people to arrive through the back door in the kitchen so that she could greet them all with love and affection. And, you know, she tried to be a good hostess and wanted to love on all her family the minute they arrived. One by one, her sons and daughters began to arrive with their families and some of their families, too. Children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren began to fill the home with noise and love and laughter. But another thing also happened. As family members arrived, they would ask about the stew Grandma was making. Sometimes they even dictated special requests, as if Grandma was some kind of short-order cook. Grandma listened patiently to everyone, taking it all in stride.
Don't put too much salt in it.
Very well, Grandma replied. Can you leave out the beef? I'm a vegan now. Anything for you, sweetie. Carrots, Grandma, I hate carrots. As you wish, my love. For hours, Grandma greeted her guests and patiently stirred the stew while hearing all the requests from her loved ones. The water was boiling, the ingredients were all prepared, and every visitor to the kitchen made the requests that they believed would make Grandma's stew even better. Finally, it was time to eat. Grandma had set each place with a beautiful covered bowl. The aroma wafted through the house, and almost magically, the family drew themselves to the dining room. Crowding in around the table, they all gave thanks for their time together and sat down to eat. Her eldest removed the lid from his bowl, and as he looked down, he seemed at once puzzled, angry, and disappointed. What's this? It's your soup, darling. Just as you requested, no beef. What? But this isn't your stew, Mom. Everyone at the table seemed a bit shocked. They looked around at each other and started reaching for their bowls. One by one, the lids were removed to find a hot, steaming bowl of deliciously seasoned broth. No meat, no vegetables, no salt. Just a fine, clear broth, piping hot and ready to eat. Where's the stew, Grandma? You're looking at it, she replied. I wanted so much to make you all happy that I followed every instruction you gave me. You didn't want carrots, so I took them out. You didn't want salt, so I left it out. You, son, are vegan now, so I didn't put any meat in it either. By the time I took all your special requests into account, the only thing I could put in the stew were the secret herbs and spices I used to season it. So here it is. I love you all so much and appreciate you coming to dinner. I hope you all enjoy eating it as much as I enjoyed making it. And with that, Grandma sat down, removed the lid from her bowl of broth, and silently began to eat. This is what saying yes all the time does. It ruins your stew. Grandma had been making that stew for years, and everybody's got an opinion. Everybody's got a request. But you, as the stew maker, need to know when to say yes and when to just do what you do best and make the damn soup your way. Otherwise, all anyone gets is a piping hot bowl of water, weak at best. You are the leader of your company, and as such, you need to lead. You have to decide when to say yes and when to say no, and be able to lead your clients so they understand why your decision is the best one for them. You are the expert, after all. And if they don't agree with you, well, there's the door. Don't let it hit you in the butt on the way out. But you don't have to take Grandma's effective yet passive-aggressive route in order to make your point. Here are some tips to help you say no with class and authenticity. Number one, know your boundaries and honor them. When you're clear and confident on your boundaries, it's easy to say yes to the things that matter most and no to the things that aren't in alignment. When you're not clear, things like project creep, scope creep, and not getting what you expected become the norm. Further, you can't just say you have boundaries. You have to reinforce them for yourself and honor them for others. Remember, you train people how to treat you, which begins with your boundaries. As a parent, I set boundaries with my children so that they know what kind of behavior is acceptable and what isn't. And I enforce those boundaries with consequences. Remember in our previous episode when I told you about locking my bedroom door to keep people from bugging me during my sacred practice? That's a boundary. I honored that boundary by not answering the door every time someone knocked. Eventually, they got the message. But what about those times when things aren't so clear? Like maybe when you've said yes to exploring something and the deeper you get into it, the clearer it becomes that you just can't continue. First, realize this isn't unusual, especially for creatives who want to try new things. My rule of thumb is to err on the side of being a little too honest at the onset of these kinds of projects. Tell your partner in crime that you're not sure if you really want to do this, but that you're willing to explore the idea until you do have more clarity. Now, maybe that's not good enough for them and they opt to go a different route. You have to be okay with that too, because that's the trade-off you get for sharing your own honesty. But by allowing room for that kind of honesty, if you do get to a point where you want out, you can remind them that this was an experiment, an exploration, and you're ready to be done. Hey, remember how I said I was going to give this a go? Well, I've hit a wall here, and it doesn't feel like a fit for me anymore. I don't want to leave you hanging, so how can we wrap this up amicably? This is something we're doing this year as it relates to merchandising. I'm actively seeking designers for my live Q&A each week. The experiment is that we collaborate on a t-shirt design idea. I wear it during the Q&A, and then we sell it in an online store where we'll split the proceeds. Some artists don't want an arrangement like that, so I can't work with them. On the other hand, I don't know if this is going to work, so I'm not willing to front all the hard costs. So I'm looking for artists who are willing to share the risk a little. By being honest about where I'm at with this experiment, I attract the people who are a good fit for the project. So far, I've got one designer lined up, and he's started work on a couple of shirt concepts. And if the idea doesn't fly, we can call it quits, and neither one of us is out a whole lot. But the upside potential is pretty attractive for the minimal amount of upfront risk. If I had to do this myself and front all the design and production costs, it wouldn't happen for at least a few more years. Here's another example. Maybe you've got someone who's trying to talk you down on your rates. Maybe in the past you've even offered them some kind of a discount and they're asking you to stick with that old rate. Again, honesty and clarity are important. Set your boundaries and communicate clearly. Explain, but you don't have to justify a thing. There's a difference. Justifying is providing a bunch of explanations to illustrate how right you are for doing what you're doing. You don't need to justify, because they may never think you're right anyway, so why bother? Instead, it can be just as simple as this. I understand that you'd like a lower rate, but that's not possible at this time. I've been able to offer you a lower price in the past, but that's not available anymore. If someone asks why, you can just reiterate, that option isn't available at this time. There's no need to explain yourself. This is your business. You get to decide when and how you set your rates. Sales and discounts end all the time. Even your friends know that. You don't need to mollycoddle them. Number two, be honest with yourself and with others. Let me reiterate the importance of honesty. Do not say what you do not mean. I once heard somebody say, I'd love to offer you a lower rate, but I just can't right now. Wrong answer. I don't know anyone who loves lowering their rates. Otherwise, their rates would already be lower. So the minute you say something like that, they can smell a lie. Instead, try, while I'd love to help you, my rate is $600 an hour. But only say that if you'd really love to help them. If you don't want to work with them, don't say things like that, because if they come back with $600 an hour, you'll be working with them and kicking yourself for not charging more or saying no in the first place. Be clear and say something like this. I understand how important this project is to you. And even if you can afford my rate of $600 an hour, I don't think it's a good fit for me right now. Tell people the truth in love. Be honest and compassionate. Honor your boundaries without throwing anyone under the bus. Now, does that mean that sometimes people might abuse your honesty? Maybe. But saying no is sexy, y'all. You gotta learn that. Fusions especially get caught up in this yes trap all the dang time. Because we're good at a lot of things, and we can do a lot of things, and we're pretty fast with some stuff. So we say yes. And people start to expect that we'll just handle everything. And then we do handle everything until we erupt, we fall apart, or we get adrenal fatigue. And I hear you say, Lisa, I'm in a no-win situation. I have to say yes. You don't understand. Believe me, I do. I lived in what I thought was a no-win situation for a long time. So I have compassion for you, because it really can feel like an imperative, like you really do have to do it. And sometimes that's true. But most of the time, we're creating a story and choosing to avoid pain in the short term by enduring pain in the long term. For a long time in my marriage, I felt like I had to do things that no one else would do until I stopped doing. Did stuff fall through the cracks? Yeah, sure, for a while. But then something amazing happened. The important stuff started getting handled without me having to intervene. That's when I learned the value of patience and trusting the process. Now, not everything is going to work out on my timeline. And that's actually a good thing most of the time. If I move too fast to deal with something, I don't give other people a chance to handle it for themselves. I don't give them a chance to take care of themselves or get clarity on what really matters to them. I absolve them of having to care for themselves through my enabling codependent, we talked about that last time, behavior. I had a friend once that bought a business from a friend, primarily to keep the business afloat and give his friends a job. He didn't really care if it made much money because he could write it off on his taxes and he didn't want to put a lot of time, energy, or money into growing it. So long as it mostly paid for itself, he was fine with just stringing it along. And I was totally dumbfounded by this idea. And I told him point blank that he was effectively blueballing the company. Can I say that? Well, I guess I just did. His enabling behavior meant that the employees didn't even have to try to keep the thing afloat so long as he kept pumping money into it. But it also meant that the company couldn't innovate or try new things because there was no money in the bank to experiment with. One of the employees wanted to go out on his own, so my friend offered to partner with him and loaned him the money to get started, but did nothing else to help this kid. And a few years later, the kid was coming right back in the doors of the business asking for his old job back, which, of course, my obliging friend did, and slowly took his loan repayments out of his paycheck every month. Again, you train people how to treat you. How do you want to be treated? How are your boundaries set up for you to experience that kind of treatment? Serious thoughts to consider, y'all. There's also a fear that crops up for a lot of people around saying no in the first place. FOMO, fear of missing out. Ooh, the idea that saying no means they'll miss out on something or never get the chance to say yes in the future. My dad instilled this fear in me when I was a kid, and it took a long time for me to unlearn it. I was 14 or 15, not quite old enough for driver's training at the time. And my dad invited me to get in the car and go for a driving lesson with him. I was totally petrified. I didn't think I was ready. And I told him that. Now, I thought he got offended, like I didn't trust his judgment or something. Okay, kid, he said. And he never offered to let me drive with him again. Ever. My younger sister, on the other hand, took him up on the offer, and they went out driving several times. And I felt left out. I felt like Dad didn't want me in the car, like I'd blown my chance. And when it was finally time for me to take driver's training, I asked my mom if she would go out with me. She was too busy and said to call my dad and ask him. And all the stories came up. He didn't want me. He'd already stopped asking me and was only taking my sister out for driving, so why should I ask him? He'll just say no, so why bother? But if I wanted to drive, I had to call Dad. So I did. And he said yes. And that's when my mom told me the greatest lesson she ever shared with me. The answer is always no if you don't ask. Now, Dad kind of played a trick on me. In my mind, I was saying that he'd already decided through his actions that he didn't want to drive with me, but that wasn't true. I had told him through my own words that I didn't want to drive with him that one time. So he assumed I'd tell him when or if I ever changed my mind. But he didn't tell me that. So I went right on assuming that he didn't want me around and that he didn't want to help me. How about that? He treated me like a mature adult and I didn't know how to handle it. He never corrected me. And it was a hard lesson to learn. And I didn't even learn it then. Because the next time I asked, he wasn't available, so he said no, and I took it personally again. It wasn't until 3 years later that I got the final piece of this lesson. I'd graduated from high school without my driver's license. I was 18, and I needed to get it before I went off to college. Dad wasn't available. Mom wasn't available. I was spending the entire summer at my aunt's house taking care of her kids while she was at work. So I asked her to help me. And she said yes! I drove with her, took the test, and passed, and got my license. Yay! Part one of this lesson is that no right now doesn't have to mean no forever. It's totally fair to say not at this time or not right now if you think it might be something for future consideration. I never asked my dad for a rain check because I didn't know it was an option. Now I ask for them all the time. The second part of this lesson is that just because someone says no today doesn't mean that someone else won't say yes later. Stop pinning your hopes on the results of one conversation and open yourself up to the infinite and varied possibilities of working with the millions and billions of other people around you. Learn how to say no now. The sooner the better. No is sexy. One of the shirts I'm designing says, "No is sexy," to remind me to use it more often. No is sexy. Honoring boundaries is sexy. Being a doormat's not sexy. Pining away at a closed door when there's an open window staring you in the face is not sexy. So being honest also means taking an honest look at your calendar. Are you trying to do too much? Do you have breathing room to take breaks, step away and refresh yourself, or get in a vacation, a real vacation, not a working vacation? Do you have time for rest penciled in? Some people need more rest than others, especially if you're dealing with a chronic illness. You have to be clear on your capabilities and your limitations. One of the big problems of under-earners is the idea that you have to work hard all the time for little pay. If you're working 10 hours a week at $350 an hour, or 50 hours a week at $70 an hour, you're making the same amount of money. But in one scenario, you've got breathing room, while in the other, you're on the hamster wheel all week long. When you charge more, you can afford to be more generous, both with your clients and with yourself. That's not to say you can't say yes to a challenge. A good challenge can fire you up and inspire you to more than you thought possible. But if every day is a challenge or just plain challenging, then maybe something needs to change. Maybe you need to charge more in the future for this kind of work. Maybe you need to fire clients that aren't a good fit. Only you know what you really need to do to bring your work back in alignment with your dreams. And you can only know that when you're honest with yourself. Number three, be willing to accept the consequences. This is where the rubber meets the road. Most of us fear the consequences, which is why we keep saying yes when we really need to say no. We're letting fear drive the bus, which I talked about in a previous episode. So often, our feared outcomes never end up being our worst case scenarios anyway, but we still do everything in our power to not have those outcomes happen. So we work for free, we lower our expectations and the expectations of others around us. We play to not lose instead of playing to win. There's actually research that suggests that the drive to not lose what we've already got is far stronger than the drive to do something to move us closer to what we say we want. And I've seen this at play with clients. One client wanted to double their income in a year, a doable goal if they stayed on track with their action plans. But they also wanted more time with their family, more time to travel, more time to play. A classic chaotic creative. They didn't want to miss out on the freedom of doing whatever they wanted, whenever they wanted to do it. So plans kept getting pushed and massaged. Timelines kept getting bumped. Things that moved them closer to doubling their income didn't happen. So they got half their wish. They traveled more. They spent more time with their family. They even managed to maintain their income at about the same level with all that additional free time on their hands. But they didn't achieve their growth goal at the end of the year. They basically maintained their status quo. Now, don't get me wrong. Keeping your income at the same level while increasing your time off is great. And had they been honest with themselves about what they really wanted, they probably would have been happy with that result too. But because they kept saying they wanted to double their income, but didn't consistently do the work to get where they wanted to be, they saw the year as a failure instead of a real success. They weren't ready to deal with the consequences of having both halves of their dream come true. But the good news is that you can also use this weird brain trick to your advantage. I had a client who had a goal to be on time for meetings and to stay on task. So I agreed to help hold her accountable to that goal. We set up regular co-working sessions. If she was on time and worked the whole session, we celebrated. If she was late, or if she got sidetracked while we were co-working, hopping on Facebook or something else, she paid me $5 at the end of the session. 1 week, I think she paid me like $20. She never had that problem again. Tardiness was rare, and when she sat down to work, she worked. In fact, as I was writing this episode, we sat down for a co-working session, and she was early, and she worked the entire time. She's finishing up her new book as I'm recording this. You're a creative entrepreneur. Use that creativity to establish boundaries that serve you, that get you the help you need to succeed, and to define that success on your own terms. If you're struggling with knowing where to start, consider hopping into Overcoming Under-Earning for Creative Entrepreneurs. There's a whole lesson on owning your truth, honoring your boundaries, and saying no and yes in empowering ways. You can learn more about it at lisarobinyoung.com/underearning. Check the website for the link. So here's your task for the week. Take a look at one place in your life or work where you've been saying yes and need to start saying no. In the member area this week, you'll find a link to my dirty floor exercise, a resource to help you make better decisions, like which clients you need to fire, or how to change your pricing, or what other boundaries you need to change or enforce. Not a member yet? What are you waiting for? Membership in the Rising Tide is always free. When you join, you'll get regular show updates, as well as access to transcripts and other bonuses that are only available to members of our Rising Tide. And so concludes this episode of the Creative Freedom Podcast. For you visual types, our next video drops in a couple of days. If you like it live, join us for our Q&A about ways to say no with class and authenticity on my Facebook page on Friday. Check the website for full details. If you liked this episode, subscribe, leave a review, share us with your friends. I like making friends. Next week, we're going to discuss the sneaky signs that you need to charge more. And I hope you'll join us next time. Until then, for more inspiration and education to help you own your dreams without selling your soul, come on, see what's shaking over at lisarobinyoung.com. You know you want to.